The drive is live.
Well, it's so fun to not be able to see him right off the bat do it, because the feed that we have is a little behind, but now we're seeing it right now. Him really, 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 really roll through it, get it. The drive is live. That is Tyler flying through, and we are live. We are live here on the road on a football Friday at Aranda's Sports Bar at Taquerias Aranda's, right off Shepherd here in the Heights. Tyler's favorite playground. Come on down here, have a good time.
I was there last night.
No, was you? Thursday night at the Heights?
Yeah.
No.
Hey, it'd been a while. It'd been a while.
Over under three bars. Were three bars hit?
Actually, Nell on the head.
Three, yeah. Tyler's not just staying at one spot. Tyler's a bar hop. Tyler's the type of guy, get you a little comfortable. You get a little comfortable. Tyler wants to hit something else, and work things over. Had me in a line dancing spot the last time I was out with Tyler in the Heights.
That's where I rode the mechanical bull last night.
I know it. I read that, and I just wanted to wait till we had some time to talk through that.
Go out with Tyler. You're gonna play a little trivia. You're gonna line dance. You might end up riding a bull, or at least watching him do those things.
There's gonna be some shots involved.
And there's going to be the strong arming at the bar is real now. I mean, he is going to strong arm you. Have the waitress walk up with not a handful, but a tray full of shots and just belittle you if you don't take one.
Says Tyler Milner next to peer pressure.
Yeah, I just want
everybody to have a good time. Okay,
that's one way to phrase it.
And you're going to force it on them. And you're going to define that good time and then force it on them. And just know what you're signing up for with OT money.
Yeah. It's a good time. It'll be a good time. It'll be a good time out here, so come on out as we're here till 6 o'clock. I see Sean Pendergast is in the building.
In the building.
Already got him a margarita. I might have to join him here in a second as well. But great food, great drinks, and we'll get you ready for this big game. Real quick before we get into it, Clint, this is unofficial, and I'm sure here coming up we will have the official designation of some of these guys. But, Clint, we know Henry Toa Toa practiced on Wednesday, and then yesterday he did not practice with that concussion. Well, he returned to practice today with his concussion. We'll see what and how he is listed for the game, but that is a better sign than yesterday. Azeez Alshire knee isn't practicing and will miss second game in a row, according to Aaron Wilson. And then Kamari Lassiter, he has practiced all 3 days this week and is expected to play on Sunday after that shoulder situation he had, Clint. So that's good news that he's expected to be back. Jimmy also reported from Aaron Wilson that Jimmy Ward won't play with that groin, has not practiced all week. So the Henry Toa Toa one is one to watch. Maybe game time decision type of situation with him as he practices, didn't practice, and then practices again, Clint. Probably hasn't had a ton of much physical contact, I would imagine, with that concussion. But that's the latest there going into it here. As I said, a little bit later on, we get it official. I'm sure the Texans will have injury designations on these guys and their availability for the game. But that's the big one to watch.
Yeah, look, to get Toa Toa back, I think probably is big, but to me it's second to Kamari Lassiter. I mean, getting Kamari Lassiter back and getting him in the fold and the cover defenders with the Texans, I think the Colts this week are that's a sneaky good wide receiver group. Don't get talked about a lot but really talented. Four or five receivers deep, if you include the kid that caught the long one last earlier in the season against the Texans. You got they're five deep at wide receiver, and so I think getting Kamari Lassiter back here is big, man. But if Henry Toa Toa is in the fold at linebacker, that's going to be a big plus as well.
Yeah, no, it is. You're right. The Lassiter situation, especially last week, there were many struggles there. So that's the latest there. All right, as we continue to roll through here, Clint, this game is interesting. I think all eyes really, from Texans fans' perspective is going to be, what is this offense going to do? What is this offense going to look like? I heard Sean Pendergast, who was in front of me earlier this week, said, yeah, the Texans' offense let the team down. That is why they lost the game against the Packers. Their offense let the team down.
Come on, Sean.
And as I've said, there were many, many, many factors, much blame. A lot of people had a hand in it, but that was it. And the one thing we saw last week, they did get the running game going. Joe Mixon was the best player, and the one thing they really had rolling consistently in that game from the offensive perspective. But my thought to you and the people, 713-572-4610, those of you in YouTube and Twitch, those of you in the building, you can jump in on this as well. If you're Bobby Slowick, what's your approach in this game right off the bat? Let's say the first possession they get early in the game, is your approach to say, hey, let's get C.J. Stroud going. Let's get this passing game going. Let's right off the bat fix what the hell was the issues was last year. Let's put this old line together. Let's get CJ going, our best player. Or is it, let's establish the run first to maybe help out our offensive line. Let's establish Joe Mixon. Hell, he went off for 30 carries and 150 plus yards and was the AFC offensive player of the week against the Colts in week one. Is it to establish Joe Mixon first over the passing game? 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, what do you think, if you're Bobby Slowick, would be the best way to approach this thing?
Look, I've been a let C.J. Cook guy from jump. From the minute we saw what caliber quarterback C.J. Stroud is, I've been a spread him out, 10-11 personnel, and let him cook. Now, I'm still a spread them out. I think they need to spread them out. I think that's just what they need to do offensively, but they need to spread them out for the offensive line.
Stroud.
Look, I'm a feed Joe guy at this point in time. Given the success, Joe Mixon is a top three running back from a production standpoint, a top three running back in this league. And we've seen Joe Mixon run well behind a line that's blocking well, and we've seen Joe Mixon do more with less. And when I say more with less, I mean produce more with less opportunity. And so I just believe in what that guy brings to the table. And after what we watched last week in the pass game and the inability to protect the quarterback, the fact that it wasn't just one dominant defender that was overpowering one or two of your offensive linemen, the fact that it was a scheme, it was middle of the pack defenders across the board that were getting home with these different twists and pick plays up front. This isn't a game where you go in there and try to fix problems. I don't think the NFL Week 8 is when you go in and you're trying to fix problems. I think you go in, you establish the run, you feed Joe, and you start Joe Mixon. I do too. You start dictating to the Colts what the hell you're going to do and what kind of fronts they're going to be in and how they're going to act and how they're going to play. I think that's got to be the approach this week after what we saw last week, both the good from Mixon and the bad from the pass protection.
Text line coming in. Back-to-back text. Run the ball.
Feed Joe, baby.
Run the ball. Screens. Run the ball. Draws. Take pressure off. Not underwear. Draws.
Did they all caps those or what? Like, you really
put it.
Like
that's what he wanted.
Attack hard. With the pass threat.
That's what you sound like on the sideline when Trey's out there.
Gotta get hard.
I do, man. It gives me. Just come on, man. Go. Listen, I think I go the other way in this. I want to say I understand exactly what you're saying, and many people are saying run the ball. I gotta get CJ going. I gotta get CJ going, And I know you said this isn't the time to fix problems, but I want to challenge these jokers up front. Like, listen, you ran the ball and you did that, and I kind of feel like that's what the Colts are expecting to because of what the number they did on them and what they've done going forward. This team, this is a C.J. Stroud. I still think it's a C.J. Stroud. He is the best player on this team, and the reason why that people think the Texans can get somewhere and have a really, really special season. And to the point you made it earlier, Tank, I got people texting in, Clint, as we were talking about Tank. Tank should be an all-time punt returner now. That's where the hell we've gotten now, is that Tank should just be returning punts.
That's a bit
this
aggressive.
Thing. Largely aggressive to me. But to me, man, this offense was, as we've said, a C.J. Stroud-led offense. And let's do something to get him going. I'm not saying get him killed. Let's establish some of the things we did. Get the ball out quick. Let's go. Let's get him in a really good rhythm first, to me, just coming off of last week's game, and to challenge those dudes up front. Because I think they can run it on the Colts. Really, there should be confidence they can run it at any point in them. And I think the Colts are going to be selling out early. It's just something to me about, like, the lasting images of CJ that I'm seeing is all of that frustration that he had in that game. Like, I want to get him. I want to get him going and get him feeling good in this game. Text line coming in the line, won't block well every week. Quick pass, it should be in the game plan. Sure, that's a part of it. Yeah, but to get those, him, Tank, Steph Diggs, all those guys. I think, to me, to get that, let's get some confidence in the passing game early, right off the bat, because I think you can use Mixon at any point. Although, like I said, I get what you're saying to establish Joe and to establish that, but boy, I just want to see good vibes and good confidence earlier from CJ Stroud.
I'd love to see it too, but what I don't want to see is them come in, them being the Colts, come in and have prepared this game plan that was very Green Bay, Minnesota-esque, and they line up in several of the same defensive fronts, bring several of the same pressures, and the next thing you know, we're a quarter into this football game, and CJ Stroud is under pressure again, over and over and over again. Indy's dictating to us what the hell we're doing. It's a dogfight, or even the Texans are chasing, depending on what our defense is doing. I like the idea. I think in theory, it's ideal. I think big picture, long term for the Texans, it would be best if they got CJ going. If CJ was cooking in the first half, it would absolutely be best. But I can't lean into. In fact, I'm actually, to be honest with you, I'm shocked the way that Bobby Slowick and D'Amico and even Nick have responded to what we watched last week. The whole it's all fixable and it's all this and no, nah, man, that was pissy po. It don't get no worse across the board.
That.
No, it don't get no worse, man. If there was ever a time to show frustration, have a different level of sense of urgency of fixing something. I'm not saying you should go out there and call guys soft in the media, but damn sure hold guys accountable and let everybody know we're holding guys accountable, and we saw how bad it was. This was the week to do it. So I firmly believe that it was some of the worst offensive line play and overall protection that we saw last week, and I don't think you fix that overnight.
From the text line, yes, Ron, but if CJ doesn't have time, it'll be another long day for Bill. Listen, I think I'm also eager to see, you know, what it is. What D'Amico said early was everything's on the table. We got to do some stuff different. There's going to be some things different. I have expectations to see adjustments in the pass game. I have expectations to see adjustments in how they are blocking up front, what they're doing to try to get protections. And I want to see what it is. And I want to see them have to execute that early. Because, yeah, I'm with you. If they're going to walk out there and have the same exact kind of game plan or just going to run what they did last week and just say, all right, these guys will just play better, then yeah, I think that's silly. I would hope, Clint, that they have come out and made some adjustments and some changes in their pass protection in the pass game.
Well, I mean, like I said, it was not just one game. I mean, it's not like we just watched the pass protection struggle in one football game. The pass protection as a whole, I mean, I've said it 15 times. Like, I think a big part of why we're not seeing any consistency out of, like, Tank Dell and in the pass game in general, even Dalton Schultz, is because there's been so much pressure so often on the quarterback that everything's off script, everything's out of rhythm, and not everything, but a large chunk of it, a lot more than what we were seeing last year, and that just kills everything. And so, I just can't look at this game of, like, yeah, you just got to fix what happened last week. No, man, versus good fronts, and I don't know if Indy's going to be able to do it or not, but versus good fronts, whether it's an individual pass rusher or it's some different games that the defensive fronts play in to get home, either way it goes, it's both work. They both made the Texans miserable offensively, no matter how they approach it. And so I guess my concern level is a little bit more about what we've seen all year long versus just what we saw last week.
And I think that's what D'Amico was saying when he said everything's on the table. We've talked about, as he said, to paraphrase what he said, we tried some things, we've had conversations, and it's not working. And we're going to have to put. I think that was a thought of overall of what's happened this year. And damn it, I want to see. We should get in here. You and Sean on the post game should clearly see adjustments and differences in the passing game. Like, you should clearly be able to come out and say, like, this is clearly an adjustment they've made. And as I said earlier this week, some of you may think it. I don't. I don't think Bobby Slowik is an idiot. I don't think Bobby Slowik just all of a sudden woke up from being one of the number one head coaching candidates that was out there and ran offense and did what he did last year and just woke up and became a fool this year and the last couple of weeks. So I do think there are adjustments. I watched that man have a passing game and have an attack against the Pittsburgh Steelers with Austin Deculus as his left tackle. I watched them do that in Kendrick Green, who had come out of playing fullback for the Steelers and made fun of by Ben Roethlisberger playing guard in that game. Hell, he got hurt in it, and they had to bring somebody else in. I watched them be able to protect, and CJ didn't get hit, and they had a great offensive game against that pass rush with Watt. I've seen him be able to do it. I would expect that you would be able to see it. Sean will be able to see it. You're talking about it. We're talking about it on Monday. Damn it, there better be some real quick throw, whatever, clear changes to this offensive passing game, and we should see that. I want to see that right off the bat.
Yep. I hope you're correct. There's nothing that would convince me more about the rest of the season than if we come out and he's cooking early and all these changes and all these differences are blatantly obvious.
Now Clint,
there's nothing that'd be more convincing.
If you and Sean come out there on that post game, and it's the same thing that we've been seeing. Protections are the same. We still see people getting confused consistently on twists and stunts and that.
Boy, you're using them T words now.
I'm gonna stay away from.
You get a pair, you get confused on, boy. You're still talking about twists.
It is twist.
Oh, you said twist.
It's a twist.
I didn't know.
Stunts. If we still see confusion,
You don't strike me as a guy that'd be confused with a pair of the other ones.
No, I don't. I got that one. I got that one right down. But I want to see it. I want to see it. So I expect to see complete changes or noticeable changes with that offensive front. All right, coming up as we look at it, let's look at the other side of the ball because, listen, if we're honest, like the Colts put up 27 points in the first game, and they probably left other touchdowns. I didn't go probably to it. They definitely left other scoring opportunities and touchdowns, wide open ones, on the field in which they could have put up more than 27. What's the one thing, and chew on this on the other side, what's the one thing that concerns you about this game for the Texans when the Colts have the ball? We'll discuss that coming up next.
I've been thinking about this all afternoon.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Aranda's Sports Bar inside Taqueria Aranda's on North Shepherd. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There it is. We are live. A little Football Friday. Come on out. Have a good time. Look, clap it up. You can clap it up.
Dude, I think
got my man in a Bills hat. He's shocked. He's as shocked as anybody that Josh Allen hasn't thrown an interception yet this year. I don't even know how that is even possible. I mean, he doesn't even know what is going on, baby. How about that? 12 touchdowns, no pick from Josh. So we accept everybody, but mostly just Texans fans. But we accept everybody in here if you want to come out and have a good time and hang out with us and win a couple of $25 Academy Sports and Outdoor gift cards. And also
good,
we've got some that's right, some U of H and Texas A&M college basketball tickets, exhibition tickets that you can win as well. So come on out, hang out with us as we're having a good time out here as usual. I'm telling you, the food, the drinks is flowing. I see Sean Pendergast is out. I heard Brandon Scott said he was going to make his way out here. So come on out and enjoy yourself and have a good time out here. All right, Clint and the folks out there. Listen, the Texans and the Colts game was tight, and it was one of the more high-scoring games the Texans have had this year, 29-27. And as I said on the other side, Clint, there was some plays out there they left on the field. Clint, you've even said as soon as the game ended that you think Shane Steichen is probably kicking himself for some of the decisions he made in that game. And the folks, you can jump in. Maybe you got none at all. But when the Colts have the ball, what's one thing that concerns you? What's one thing that concerns you in this game when the Colts have the ball?
Look, for me, it's the secondary versus these wide receivers. After we watched the explosive plays, literally four plays kept them in the game last time we played.
Yeah, week one, yep.
And so there's going to be a lot of effort put into stopping the run, obviously, with Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor. There's something about those explosive plays that go hand in hand with a downhill run attack that scares the hell out of me. I look up and Josh Downs is back. Yeah. He was not there the last time the Texans played the Colts. And I'm not saying Josh Downs is an all-pro wide receiver, but Josh Downs is a very, very good slot receiver. He's a guy that in that RPO system that for a guy like Anthony Richardson, he's a security blanket, a guy that he can get the ball out to.
Say, yeah, what'd you say? He's missed three. I know Nick Caserio said that he's missed three games.
Yeah, he's played three games this year, and in terms of catches, he leads the team. He's tied with. Who was it? He's got 28 catches. He's tied with somebody. I think Michael Pittman Jr. Tied with Michael Pittman Jr. for the most catches on this team.
So clearly somebody they like to go to.
Yeah, whether it's Joe Flacco or Anthony Richardson, clearly a guy that Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator head coach, likes to use. So he's back. Alec Pierce is not. I don't think it's a fluke anymore. He's one of the best big play wide receivers in the game, at least from a production standpoint. He is. We know who Michael Pittman Jr. is. He's a guy that can bite you at any moment. And then Adonai Mitchell, a guy, rookie out of Texas last year, right here in Missouri City.
Yeah, Ridgepoint High School was seen.
And then the only guy I haven't mentioned, I can't remember his damn name, but Doolin, I think.
Austin Doolin.
He's a guy that caught a long touchdown against the Texans earlier in the season as well. So they've got some really good wide receivers. And I know they're going to try to run the football, which tells me D'Amico's going to load up and make sure he can stop the run, which puts these DBs on an island. And when it comes down to Jalen Petrie, Eric Murray, even Kalen Bullock, if he has to play, he gets caught up in any kind of man situations. I'm worried about those guys in this matchup. That's the biggest challenge.
That's the biggest thing is that when they're throwing the football, even with Richardson. To me, I can't get out of my mind – and I thought it was just short of brilliant. I don't want to say brilliant by you, just short of brilliant. I think it's very
what's that?
Very, very, very close to brilliant. Whatever's under brilliant, I don't want to give you quite brilliant on this Football Friday. But
impressive.
right after the game, and you've been saying it is Shane Steichen has got to be looking at why in the hell did I stop running the ball with Jonathan Taylor. And it looks like Jonathan Taylor is going to return again when we get the official injury report from both teams. We'll let you know that. But it looks like he is. And it's so funny. Ever since that game, Jonathan Taylor, the games that he's been healthy, he's 20-fold carries, passes as well. Like he's been nearing, in terms of rushing and catching the ball out of the backfield, nearing 30 touches. And I think they're going to run the ball 30-plus times in this game. Unless the Texans' offense, puts this game in a position in which they the lead is so big that they have to. But I think they're going to try to run the ball a good 30-plus times with Taylor, with the backs they have, Sermon, and with Anthony Richardson, of course. And my deal is, how does this defense handle that? How does this defense deal with that constant commitment to running the football with the guys they have running the football, and also with some of the injuries they have there? There's no there potentially will be no Azeez Alshire there. We'll see about Henry Toa Toa. Mario Edwards Jr. is out, and there wasn't a lot from D'Amico Autry in that first game, and really in the run game, it's not something that's a huge expectation from him. That, to me, is the concern of can they stop it? But can they stop it with the amount of times I think that the Colts are going to try? I think they're going to be far more committed in the run game than they were the first game.
I would expect them to be. Now, the first game, when it's all said and done, what happened was he got away from it early, and then the Texans gave him no choice late. So the Texans really took the bull by the horns there. And would they have four plays in the third quarter, something like that, in the first game against the Colts? And so they really took the opportunity for them to really dial in the run in the second half. The Texans did a great job of taking it away.
Yeah, the Texans ran the ball so well. Yeah. Yeah, they had long drives.
So we'll see if it kind of how the game unfolds. I don't expect the offensive plays to be such a big part of what the Colts get on the Texans. As you said, I expect them to run the football quite a bit more, and we'll see how the Texans deal with that changeup. But if they're able to dictate like they did last time they played, and in the second half really take the ball out of Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson's hands, boy,
they finished with touchdowns in that game too to make the score. Yeah. So much so even when they got the ball that they had, because you want to make this a game where Richardson is throwing consistently. Yes, there are big plays, but you want to make it where, you know, if he's got to throw it 30 times, I think that's a win for the Texans rather than, you know, 35 rushes between him and Taylor and the rest of the guys in the backfield. All right, coming up, what was that about last night? What? I'm telling you, this is another example, Clint, of why that we would still be Al Michaels and company would still be on the air right now if I were Kevin O'Connell. Because I would have handcuffed myself. I would have found a way to handcuff myself or to keep myself in the middle of that field. There is no way I'm getting up. That was crazy last night, and a little odd man out. A little odd man out with the games, the big games this weekend coming up in the NFL slate on Sunday. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Aranda's Sports Bar inside Taqueria Aranda's on North Shepherd. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, as we are live at Aranda's Sports Bar in Taqueria Aranda's. Come on out in the Heights right off North Shepherd and come hang out with us. We're going to be hooking somebody up we're going to start it up in the 3 o'clock hour. And if you're in the building, sign your name, put it in the raffle box. Just one. All right. Let's not get aggressive and just start putting 6 and 7 of your names in there. You know, you didn't just did come in here and just become a different person. We do have some. If you were here from hour 1, 2, 3, and 4, I'm cool with you adding one more name in there if you're gonna be here the rest of the way. But don't just roll up in here and put 7 or 8 of them in there.
We need to run that by management. I think that needs to become a rule, a drive rule. If you're here,
I'm with you.
There ain't no coming and going now. If you're here.
My man over there drinking his drink like he put 6 or 7 of his names in there.
Wow.
That's because you got a D'Amico Ryan jersey on. Don't mean that we're going to just turn the other cheek.
He's trying to hide behind that glass of water he got over here. Huh? Yeah, but no, like, hey, if you're here in the 2 o'clock hour, you can put one in. If you're still here in the 3 o'clock hour, you can put one in. However many hours you're here, you can put one in, and then obviously you got to be here to win. I think we should look for a way to reward the folks that come actually hang with us beyond just grabbing a bite to eat and a drink.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with those folks. I love them as well, but I'm just saying, somebody that works overtime, I believe they should get paid for overtime.
I'm with you.
I think I'm going to run that by management.
Shouldn't have the same chances to win things in the 5 o'clock hour as somebody who just rolled up in here in 5:15. And then,
well, I'm just a big believer in earning it. And, I mean, I think you should reward folks for
earning. Because I have seen somebody rolling at 5:15 and put 8 names in there.
Oh, I mean, hell, I seen it at least about a 55-year-old woman look me dead in the eye while she was signing and holding about 6 of them.
And she looked like she teach Sunday school.
She looked like she was daring me to say something. What she did, that's what she's doing.
When are you going to do, Sonny?
I wish you would say something. I want to say, man, yours are all completely grown. Why are you trying to get it free?
I dare you. She can try to get some gifts.
For the record, I didn't try her.
He thought about it.
I did not try
her. You thought.
I stared a hole through her old ass, but I did not try her.
Dang, man, she was that old?
freaking Marjorie.
Yeah, she was older than 55. I gave her some slack. She's older than 55. She was definitely a granny.
She's better
she's
woman.
She's 60, right? Over
she
60.
Was. I mean, my mom's granny, and she's
a hard
70.
60.
She's 78 or something.
Clint
like that.
Said he was about to shove that cane up her ass.
All right, let's get off of that. That lady knows. She knows who she is, too.
She's, yeah, she's out there. Buffalo Wild Wings. Where were we at?
Sucker. Yeah.
I remember like it was yesterday.
I know you did.
Where we were at.
I know you did. It bothered you. Stayed with you for a little bit. All right. All right. There's a lot of good matchups this weekend in the NFL slate, but it started off last night. And it was a good game. Well, they got it all started for a year where offense has been the struggle. Baby, the first four possessions, man, it's four touchdowns, baby. It's 14-14. It's like, well, we on our way. And it was an entertaining game, but the way it ended, Clint, that's just unacceptable. I mean, Sam Darnold drops back in the end zone, and not only is it in the game, I mean it's like he looked like a fish that just got that hook in him and got yanked back.
What?
But none of the officials on the field saw it. None of the officials on the field saw him get yanked down and his head turned. None of the officials saw that the gentleman get a sack for a safety to end the game, not celebrate, but put his hands in his head because he knew it screwed up. Nothing. We could see it. We got every camera on the world that could see it. And that is how the Vikings end up losing that game. Now, I don't know if they were going to drive it down there, but, I mean, clearly that was going to be 15 yards and – to get that thing rolling, and it's got to be called, and it's ridiculous that it was missed live and missed with all the cameras, and there's nothing that can be done about it.
Well, was it missed by all the cameras? Was it reviewed and held up?
No. It's not reviewable because nobody threw a flag.
Well, that's my point with it is again, it, whether we're talking about our world or we're talking about the game of football and life, right? Everything has, like, at some point in time, there has to be a common sense rule, right? Like, when common sense comes into play, like, we've got to lean that direction. When there is an obvious face mask, and at a time in a game where it's the end of the game, it's the last couple of minutes, last 5 minutes, it's whatever, and it literally swings the game in a major, major way.
It ended it. They got to 2 points, and it ended it.
It was a two-score game at that point in time, right?
It was one-score game. It was a yeah, –
No, after the penalty made it
yeah,
a two-score
Oh, yeah,
game.
Ended the
so,
game.
So
yeah.
It ended the game, right? So there's no – I mean, you like it's common sense that when something happens like happened last night, it's not, well, is it reviewable? No, you're just going to review it. You're going to get it right, and we're going to keep this thing moving.
I told you.
This isn't difficult. This goes back to me. Again, it goes back to the pass interference back in the what was that,
the
NFC
Saints,
Championship?
Saints and Rams,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Rams benefited for that one, didn't they?
Well, we don't need to say, okay, we're going to review all pass interference at any point in the game, at any point in the regular season. The common sense is how important that game was, where it was at in the game, and it should have been reviewed. It should have been made right. And you just keep it moving. In everything we do, there's a common sense layer that should always be applied.
And the thing is, Clint, is they do have a referee assistant if the flag was thrown. So if the flag was thrown, you know, then somebody upstairs could step in and change and make the call right. But since a flag wasn't thrown, and on that particular play, that type of play, it's not reviewable. And I told you this. This is why I couldn't be a coach. If I were Kevin O'Connell, that game would not have continued. I would have taken the football and every football that I could find for them to try to restart the game. I'd take them, and I'd take them right there, and I would have walked off those 15 yards, and I would have set my fat ass right there on that line, and we are not getting this thing started. We're not going to get this thing. I would have got the rest of my team. We're going to hook arms and we're going to sit right here because we're not. This game's not going to continue. I'm not. We're not doing any kind of punt kickoff. We're not doing anything. We can all clearly see it. Like, I thought it was crazy what happened in the Texas Georgia game. If you remember, they called a pass interference, and then the fans start
Super
throwing all the stuff
fans.
On the field, and then them fools got to sit up there and they looked up at that Titantron and thought to themselves, "Damn, that ain't pass interference." 10 minutes later, they came back and said, "After discussion, That was not pass
long
interference.
Discussion.
No, no discussion. Y'all set your asses up and looked at it on the screen. Is what y'all did.
It actually ended up being a great job by the fans, right?
They got fined
for it. But by the way, I heard. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe the internet getting me again. I saw somebody posting like text messages where they're spotting students that were actually throwing things at UT and revoking their student tickets.
Shoot, I bet
the
they
season.
Are. They got fined.
Yeah, but this was before the fine was levied. Actually, that I saw this. They were using
saying
cameras.
They can't come back.
They were using cameras identifying the students that they knew threw something and sending them a text and saying, "Hey, by the way, you have been identified and your ass can't come back."
I'll be
to
honest
another game.
With you. I think it is strong.
Which that's common sense. That's great use of the common sense rule right there. If you're an idiot kid or an idiot adult for that matter, and you're throwing things on the field, your ass ought not be able to go to games. I don't care about your rights. You shouldn't be able to go to games.
I think it's aggressive, but you put yourself in that position.
What's aggressive?
Like to me, I wouldn't revoke their ability to never come back.
Well, it's just the season. Like you can't come back.
I mean, I wouldn't
ask for the season.
Is it just the season?
Yeah.
So they'll let. Even that to me, I mean, I let him come back a couple games, but you put yourself in that position. Like, you shouldn't be throwing that on me.
Yeah, don't do jackassery type things, and you won't.
You shouldn't be. Like, I'm not going to argue nothing. Like, if they get suspended for the season, but you put yourself in that position, I would have a little bit more compassion, but I mean.
Horns fans don't go to every game anyway. We know this.
Go home and think about it. You sit your ass while all your friends are partying, going to games. You need to sit your ass in the parking lot or stay at home. You just can't come around these parks.
I bet you they get in.
Yeah, they're probably going to sneak in. They'll be in a mask, some kind of mask.
I bet you they get a different haircut.
To me, it would be
dye
like,
their hair blonde.
Damn, man, you going to make me sit outside and tailgate and get drunker? Oh, okay. I'll do that, too. Get all the strays that are walking through in Austin? Yeah, I'm in.
I don't know. Now, that's wild, man. Kevin, those coaches, I give it to them, man. They just sits over there, and he's upset, clearly. But, I would have lost it. As much money on the line as these guys get fired for these things.
I'm visualizing you that time Armin made you so mad you fired some headphones across the room. I feel like that'd be you.
That wasn't Armin that did that.
I think Armin got some headphones once.
I was like, I've never seen this part of Ron before.
Oh, in the studio?
Yeah.
Oh,
this is maybe the only time I've ever seen Ron just like really lose his cool. I was like, oh, whoa.
My pet peeve is being called to stop doing something during a segment.
That's
my pet peeve.
I was so hesitant to tell you, too. I was like, man, hey, I'm just delivering the message.
First time it ever happened, I got in trouble for, and I was wrong, clearly wrong at the time, but I was young. And I didn't believe I was that wrong. I got in talking about the team slogan, and he called me, called the producer, told me to get off of it. So then I just turned the rest of the hour into breaking down all the punters in the National Football League.
I was angry.
All right, first we're gonna go through Jeff Fegels, University. And I just went through every punter. And I got in trouble.
Let's look at Hecker here.
Johnny Hecker. All right, coming up as we continue, we'll be hooking people up with some prizes starting in the 3 o'clock hour. I'm going to tell you my expectations. What's your expectations for this offense in this game against the Colts? We'll discuss that coming up next.